I've been picked on so much for not being in the Old Testament. I'm going to start in the Old Testament today. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Always remember, the Old Testament is a shadow of what was coming. The New Testament is the substance of what's here. Okay? Don't base your life on the Old Testament. How many remember that Joseph was sold into Egypt? Do we remember that? Do we remember that Joseph died and there was a rose a king that did not know Joseph or his mighty works? Do we realize that after Joseph died, that they decided they were going to cut the straw from the bricks and they were going to make it tough, and they made the Israelites work harder with less stuff to make bricks, and the people begin to cry out to God? How many know that? How many know that when we cry out to God, God hears? And God responded. How many realize that he used an unwilling man to deliver Israel? Did you know that? Do you know that God came to Moses and said, I'm going to send you the people? And Moses said, well, I'm not eloquent. And then God said, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give you Aaron, and I'm going to give you this. And Moses said, please send somebody else. You ever say that? And so I think there were six plagues before this, the last one. But I want to talk to you, it's kind of interesting, because I want to talk to you about the blood of Christ. And I'm probably do it in two parts because there's just so much here and it's almost noon. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. And God is telling Moses about the lamb that they're going to have to kill. He says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male from the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Skip down with me to verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood that is in the basin, strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Skip with me to verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. There's a message here within the message. The message here is that God was determined to get the children of Israel to the promised land. He had sent six other plagues, I believe it was, I'll have to count them. And Pharaoh would say, okay, you can go, and then his heart would get hard and he'd say no. This was the last plague that God would send. This last plague killed the firstborn of every Egyptian family, the firstborn of the animals. If you've watched the Exodus or the Ten Commandments, you realize that Pharaoh lost his firstborn son. But there's something within this message that people don't see at times, and that is, they took the blood of a perfect lamb. They put the blood over the lintel and on the two doorposts. And the Bible says that the Lord passed over the door and did not allow the destroyer in. Protection. The blood. Now that word destroyer is very interesting because we have that same word used in the book of Revelation. Take your Bibles with me and turn with me to Revelation 9 quickly, if you would. I don't want to take too much time to set the introduction up, but verse chapter 9 and verse number 11. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in the Greek, he has the name of Apollyon. In other words, it's destroyer and destruction. Satan comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But the blood of the Lamb without spot or blemish stopped it. The Egyptians went free. We know they had some issues in the wilderness, but God was with them. Let's come to today, but let's go back a minute. God told Israel that you'd observe this day forever. The day of the Passover lamb would be observed forever. And if you recognize Jewish culture, they still celebrate Passover. But there's a better lamb. Jesus Christ came as our Passover lamb. Turn with me to, and I'm skipping some stuff, but turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In John chapter 1, Jesus is walking to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist acknowledges him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." To be redeemed means that you were purchased. The Bible says we are not our own, we are bought with a price. That price that Christ paid for us to break the bondage of Satan, the bondage of sin, was his blood. There's nothing you can do to earn that. There's nothing you can do to work for it. It's a free gift. And all we do is allow the Holy Spirit to apply the blood of Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sins. No church can do this for you, no denomination, no culture. It's Christ. And we need to understand that he willingly shed his blood for us. Now let me show you some scriptures just to tie the knot. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse number 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How many ever felt you just don't measure up? How many ever felt that, you know, God had to just forgive me because he said he would? If it was his choice, he wouldn't have. We all go through times when we look at this as something that we were so out of touch and foreigners and not in any kind of relationship and not concerned about anything. And then one day we heard the truth and it came to us and we decided to respond, but we're not sure if God would respond to our response. Hello? That's right, Kathy. And so we look at that and we wonder, what about me? And so we live our life as the ugly stepchild who was never welcomed into the family. And sometimes people tell you that. But the issue is, God declared you righteous when you accepted Jesus Christ. There's nothing you do, there's nothing you earn, there's nothing you work at. It's there. And not only that, but as we live for God, the Bible said something else very specific. In John 1:7, I believe it is, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. There's a cleansing process taking place from all sin. Now, it doesn't say if you go out and willfully do all these evil things that that's going to happen, but it is as we walk in the light of his revelation. Did you ever sin once and think you're going to hell? Hello? Not Sherry. But Satan tries to work on our minds. There's a constant process of cleansing through the blood of Jesus Christ as we determine to stay in that relationship with him. You see, God is interested in the relationship. He's not interested in somebody saying a prayer and going out and doing their own thing. He's interested in that relationship strong and being built up and established in him. Coming to Christ is not a license to sin. It's a license to be free from sin. You can do better than that. Amen. It's true. Why? Well, forget it. And so we have that acknowledgement. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Always, you know, jot some of these things down, and when Satan comes and throws stuff at you, throw it back at him. Do you ever have the devil remind you of your past? How about trying to remind him of his future? You hear me? Well, Satan, you got kicked out of heaven. I haven't been there yet. Satan, you're going to be in the pit. I'm not going to go to the pit. Satan, you're going to be in the lake of fire forever. I just finished reading the book of Revelation for the umpteenth time as I'd go through the New Testament, over and over again. It's beautiful. Ephesians 1:7, look at this. In him, who's the him? Can't hear you. Who? In in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I want to tell you something about grace. Grace saw us as sinners. But simply because God's heart is mercy and compassion, grace moved him to send his son to die for us so that we could be free from the bondage of the devil and be his children. You understand me? Not that we could go back to bondage. Hello? It's not about going back to where God took us out of. It's walking with God and coming to a place where it's our purpose to set the captives free, because that's what Jesus did to us. Hello? He redeemed us. He purchased us. We're his. We're bought with a price, the Bible says. Not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. Go with me to Revelation. Let's take a look at a couple things here. Then I'm going to give you another couple verses, and then if you want to, you go home, or I'll keep preaching. By the way, what are we having for lunch? I'm hungry. 1:5. 1:5. First, let's go to 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn over the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God did something very special through Christ. We came from being paupers to being a kingdom of priests. We came from having no relation with God, not knowing God, not walking with God, not concerned about God. Maybe we were religious, but that doesn't mean anything with God. And we became a kingdom of priests. We are in a kingdom. And the Bible tells us as priests, we offer the sacrifice of praise. It doesn't mean you came in this morning, you didn't feel like praising God, okay? Kirk could get a double hernia sometimes trying to get us to praise God. But we believe in healing, so we'll take care of it. That's not the thing. People say, well, you know, if we're going to offer sacrifice of praise, I just come in, and if I don't feel like doing nothing, I don't have. That's not it. You're a priest. You offer sacrifices. You get me? When we walk in here, we should wear him out. Not because he's trying to pull teeth, but because you're just praising God and he don't know what to do. Hello? Wouldn't that be fun? Kirk, come and sit down and rest, because we're going for it. Marnie, just keep on playing, and we're going for it. We're offering the sacrifice of praise to the King of Kings. And that's where we're going. Not that he don't have a job. Poor guy has to work with me. A kingdom of priests. Okay, let's go to chapter 5. Verse number 9. This is in heaven. Ever been to heaven? I won't even ask you if you're ready to go, but there are people that take trips to heaven. Paul took a trip to heaven and came back. Verse 9, verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowl is full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us a kingdom and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." How big is heaven? Look at this. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many, Kirk?
A bunch.
Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You see, because he has redeemed us, and because he bought us, and because he purchased us, and because he has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, there's going to be a day in heaven, it might be every day, that we're going to gather around the throne and sing praises to our Savior. So this is the trial run. As you come on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, we're being trained to praise God. Love the way you're shouting. Amen! It's true. We're being trained to be praisers in glory. That's not all we're going to do. But if that's all we did, it'd be enough, wouldn't it? One more verse. Revelation chapter 12. Let's go look at verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren have been who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death." Talking about fighting the storm. Talking about not getting all excited when the storm comes. How about standing in the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony or the word of your witness? The word testimony there is martia, which means witness or martyr. We overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus. Put a block. Put a block. That blood of Jesus is amazingly powerful against the enemy. Don't battle fist to fist or thought to thought or something like that. Cover your mind with the blood of Christ. Let that renew your mind and stand against the lies of Satan. Don't empower him. Don't agree with him. Stand. Hebrews talks about hold fast your confession. The word confession means to agree in these senses, agree with what God has to say. If you're going to agree with God, not the enemy. Agree with God's word. Agree with what God has spoken to your heart. Agree with the fact that you're more than a conqueror, that you're an overcomer, you're a victor, not a victim. Make statements of agreement with what God has to say about you, and let that be your testimony. Let that be your witness. Because if he gets one little thought in there and you start dwelling on it and you start allowing it to control, that's exactly what he wants. But through the blood of Christ and through the word of your testimony, the word of your confession, also remember, it's not who you were that matters, it's who you are now. It's who you are. All of us may have pasts we're not proud of, but we're still not there. And don't let what you were affect or infect who you are. Doesn't matter. Nobody's going to hell because of their past. They're going to hell because they don't accept Jesus. Hello? I don't hear you shouting. I'm getting nervous. And don't think that you're the only one that's ever sinned. Remember Paul? He said, I was the chiefest of sinners because I persecuted. Fact is, I had people put to death. How many people have you killed? If the blood of Christ can forgive a murderer, that blood is just so amazing. If it can cleanse Paul, it can cleanse anybody. Amen? Amen. I think you kept them too long. It's your fault. Oh, it's Larry's fault. I'm sorry. Larry did it. What I want you to know when you walk out of here, there's no obstacle that you're facing or will face that's bigger than Jesus. There's no mountain that you can't get over. There's no struggle. And there's no lie of Satan that the truth will not destroy. Hello? Yeah. We believe the wrong voices at times because we get wore out and we get tired and we get frustrated. And when we start believing the wrong voices, we open the door and we empower Satan. When you believe the lie, you empower the liar, Bill Johnson says. Hello? So we're believing the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. The what? Can't hear you. And what? The life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. You don't understand it, and you can't comprehend it. But Jesus has your back and your front and your sides. And then we need to be like the man, and I'm done, who was telling his friends about a battle he fought, and he said, the enemy was in front of me, the enemy was behind me, the enemy was on my left, and the enemy was on my right. I had him surrounded. I close with this. There was a period in time when in India they were losing a lot of people to cobra bites. They had no serum. They worked and they worked and they worked to get a serum that would destroy the venom of a cobra. The scientists finally started testing horse's blood. And they found in the horse's blood the antidote for the cobra's bite. And people's lives started being saved when they were bitten. We had a serpent like a cobra bite mankind. We had nothing that would cure the bite to kill the venom. But the Son of God shed his blood. And in the blood of Jesus Christ was the antidote that broke the power of sin and the bite of the devil. That antidote is available for your family and your friends and everybody you know. That blood of Jesus Christ will never lose its power.